I want to just share a short exhortation. What an amazing day today. Paul Yonggi Cho, how many know who he is? Raise your hands. Has the largest church in the world. His church seats 50,000, but he has over 1 million members in his church. And he talked about how he did that. And that's one of the only thing. He had the largest newspaper one time. There's a lot of different things, but he tapped into this realm that God taught him how to tap in. He called it the fourth dimension. I'm going to call it the dream realm, but he would tap into it and he made it sound a whole lot more simplistic than it is because it was to him. It was given to him, but he was able to move into this realm where God would literally paint his whole life with what was being harvested from his heart. And he learned to release that dream, not just to ask God, but to release that realm. And he would dream it and God would do it. And God told him, he said, I mean, he struggled for years. And God told him, I want you to have the largest church in the world. And I want you to dream that. And he taught him how to do it. And I realize that the world takes a lot of the dynamics of the kingdom and how God has created us to function with him in a state of dominion. And the world system will take certain things and use them for its own glory. Like the world will say, you know, positive thoughts and things like that. And they take it further than that. But that's really not what this is about. Because it's not has anything to do with the mind. It has this thing with this heart realm that God's given us. As a man thinketh, believeth, and functioneth in his heart, so is he. It's taken a long time to understand that operation because God was not teaching us just that when he was teaching us where that functions from and where that operates from. And he also was laying a foundation for a very long time. Even he would visit certain things. And when we were laying this foundation, we would start doing some of these things, but it wouldn't come into pass. And back then he wouldn't tell me why. He was laying a foundation for how this last day house is going to work and how we're going to operate in a very extreme manner with God. It is the realm of the impossible. I mean, you can generally say all things are possible to him that believeth, but to define the believing process and how that works and how that actually can move mountains, literally can move mountains, that's the stuff he's teaching us now. And one of the things that he began to say is he would dwell in us, say dwell in us and walk in us, say walk in us. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6, and that word walk means to perambulate. It literally in the Strong's will say perambulate. That's the word that it says to perambulate. This is what it says to perambulate. Watch this. Because God says, I walk or travel through around a place or an area, especially for pleasure or in a leisure way, a leisurely way. God said he'll walk or travel through a place or an area. So he said, I'll dwell in you. So we already know he's dwelling in us. He's going to dwell in us in who he is. And who he is light. Who he is love. And who he is glory. Who he is a lot of things. But he definitely describes himself, God is light. God is love. Father of lights. Father of glory. That's his dwelling place in us, right? But then he says, I'll not only dwell in you, but I'll what? Walk in you. Walk in you. What did the Lord say? I can only do what I see my Father doing. Where do you think he saw the Father doing that? Well, he would stay up all night with him and he would see everything the Father was doing. And literally he would walk out everything that he saw doing. And there was never a blind spot with the Lord, by the way. He never had a blind spot. Nothing ever caught him off guard. Oh, wow, really? He always knew where to be. He always knew exactly what he was doing. He was always positioned in the right place, the right time, always going about doing his father's will, but he was being led from this place that he dwelt with the Father. And that's the promise he gave us. I'm going to bring you to the same place. If you want to act like, operate like me, because I'm going to give you an anointing, you can function while you're growing, but I really want you to do it my way. I'll give you an anointing. He was never designed the anointing and the gift realm to be our substance for life. It was there to function while we were growing up into him, because he really wanted us to operate in this place of fullness. Amen. This realm of glory and this realm of dream, and to walk and perambulate in us. I will walk and travel and I'll perambulate in you. And what he does, and the way he does that, is he sets his will. You ever wonder why when God gives you a word, how many God give you a prophetic word or a prophetic encounter of your future? And when he does, it comes with the explosion of his life and his glory and his grace, and it takes every part of you and just goes inside. You see it, you feel it, you taste it. It expands every part of you. It has expansionary properties in it. It has expansionary glory in it. Everything takes who you are and goes inside, right? And as that light and that glory and that grace, that fullness expands on the inside of you, man, you walk around like a faith man for 3 days. You walk around like you, man, you know who I am, praise God. You feel, while that's on you, you can take the world on. And literally, do you know what God did? I understand now why he has to take you out of where you are. I never understood why we have to call things that be not and see things that be not as though they were. I didn't understand that realm of faith. But when he does that, he invades you where you are. He takes no account for who you are presently. He takes no account for the strongholds you're presently dealing with. He takes no account for the filtration process of your soul. He takes no account of your circumstance. He brings his will and invades you with an encounter of his will of a place in your future, and he floods your heart with it. He literally takes your future and shoves it into you. With all the glory in what you're feeling, what you're tasting, what you're sensing, what you're receiving is the reality of God in your future. Not just the reality of a moment encounter, but when you're tasting that kind of faith and that kind of glory and that kind of light, that is a reality of what you will actually walk in. In a future place, he takes a synopsis of your future and he shoves it into you and then he breathes on it. And when he does that, it's for the purpose to awaken something in you. It has to awaken something that's dormant. Because the reason he's doing that is to say, this is who you are. And if we can learn to take those kind of moments, whether it came by a revelation, came by encounter, but anytime he'll give you an encounter, he'll always back it up with his word. Always, always, always will he back it up with his word. But he'll take that, and the reason he does that is to begin a journey with you. It was never meant to last for a week, put on a shelf and find out what's next. Well, give me another word. That thing had life in it. That promise, that encounter, that explosionary encounter of your future had life in it. It comes as a seed, but in that seed, you are able to look into the future of that seed. If we can learn how to cooperate with that, and if we can get unveiled enough to begin to hold that up before God and hold that up before the presence of the Father, and if we can get to a place where the Father can begin to walk us out into that place daily, instead of lose it, put on a shelf, and do something else in instead, you don't ever, ever underestimate the doing for the becoming. That thing is a detriment to the perfect will of God. It's a detriment to it. You have to watch that, because you don't always know what's motivating it. You don't always know. I mean, Abraham had to walk it out. We all have to walk that out. The greater things of God just simply cannot be initiated by us. It's initiated by God. How did God initiate with Abraham? Stars and sand. Look at the stars, look at the sand. Exploded that on the inside of him. But as we begin to dream into that realm and God himself, and here's the difference. It's not just envisioning your future, not just dreaming. It's having Father God come out and meet you and dwell with you in that dream. And when you can come to the place, because it says unveiled heart, we all with beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed and transformed to the same image. From what? Glory to glory. With what? Unveiled heart. Until he can remove veils. What kind of veils? All kinds of veils. I don't know what's in the way. Do you know what's in the way? Does anybody know what's in the way of our graduation? We don't know what's there. We don't know what's in the way. Sometimes if we're first into something and we're enjoying the ride and it's glorious and it's awesome, we're in the ride, we're in the flow, we're in the good. But what happens is you'll hit the level. You want to be here, but you're under the ceiling. And if you've been at this long enough, anybody who has, everybody will hit their ceiling. A lot of people just live under it the rest of their life. A lot of people stay frustrated under it. A lot of people try to break through, but they don't know how. That is what we are about. That is what we are in the making. That's what we are in the development of how to bust this thing here and function the way he said we could function. Amen. I promise if you did the conference circuit and do that, you'll find out after a while they all say the same thing. They all do the same thing. They all have seen the same result. They get tired. What was glory to them in the beginning and what was awesome in the beginning, and they got their book table and they got the tape table and they got their name out there and they're going and they're going and they're going, and then all of a sudden they've done that. They got the t-shirt and all of a sudden they themselves as ministers keep getting the same result, keep getting the same result, keep getting the same thing. And after a while it starts wearing on them. How do you know? Because I know. I have friends. They come through here. And you don't know how to get through to the next place. It's either build something bigger with the same thing. But what happens is, if you're a revivalist, if you've got that thing in you, it's always going to go for the next level. It cannot not go there. It'll never, ever, ever be satisfied until it gets to that level. You can do everything in the world to get to that level. And the disheartening thing is, if you don't know how to go to the next level, you stay there. And that's part of the mysteries that have been forged and formed in this house, that are continue to be forged, how to move to that next level. Two great operations, baptism of death, baptism and the resurrection. Both of those working, because the baptism of death is going to strip the veils that keep you from moving out. There are things in this life that keep you where you are in your heart. They'll either keep you where you are or keep you where you were. You don't know it until you start reaching forward. You don't know until you start trying to move out, and then they're there. You'll meet in front of me, and only the Lord can discern what's there. Only he can show you what's in there. And when you're in front of him, that is his specialty, to circumcise the heart and circumcise the eye of the heart and circumcise and move things out of the way to get you past that ceiling. To where you can say, which is harder, leading someone to get born again or get him out of the wheelchair? To him, it was no difference. He didn't have a discerning difference between the two operations. He could function in the fullness. Amen? And so what happens is, as he can circumcise that old, he can pull us out. Why does God need to pull us out to the front? Why does he got to get us out from where we are in front? Why does he do that with an encounter? Why does he call us to call things that be not as though they were? Why does he call us to see things that be not? Why does he always give us the extreme and not look at our present? Like, Abraham, look at all those stars. Look at all that sand. Abraham's going, God, I just need the birth of one heir. That's it. just give me the promise of one heir. And God said, no, you're too close to one heir. I need to get you way out from where you are. Why does he got to do that? It's the way this thing works, this dominion mechanism. If this thing gets too much infiltrated with the now or the past, it'll get chained. It'll get locked. And whatever's bound on earth, it'll get bound up in heaven. You don't know it's there until you try to move out. And what God wants to do is move us out. That's why he wants to get us with him in his glory. The Lord says, I will you be with me where I am that you may behold my Father's glory. What does that scripture mean to you? Oh, I want to hold the Father's love. Absolutely. What else does it mean? I want to behold his light. I want to behold his glory. What is his glory? What is the glory of God? I want to behold past, present, future. Him that was, him that is to come. There is no limitation to the glory. When you move up into it, you can, like Moses, go all the way back and see it all, write 5 books. You can be in the present, but you can also move out because it's a place of indwelling. It's not to sit there and I'm going to dream a dream. There's no power in that. You got to move out into the Father that is to come and you move into him. And the way you do that is you focus on what he said and you focus on that encounter and you focus. And as you begin to focus on that encounter, you move out and begin to dream with that encounter that gave you so much glory. That he came with so much glory because you just go to the place of where that was spoken from. You go to the place, and when you move there, the glory's there and the Father's there, and you begin to dream with him. And what he does when you dream with him, it's not you, it's him and you. He starts expanding the heart. And when he starts expanding the heart, what happens? Because he's dwelling with the dream and he's dwelling in the dream. Because it's his dream for you. And so his power's there. His love's there. His glory's there. His light's there. His freedom, his liberty. And all of a sudden you get lost in it because you're saying and you're seeing what he has said, what he brought to you, and you're agreeing with it. That's the big part there is we don't agree. And as you're agreeing, you release out into it. As you release out into it, he's there. There's a place when he perambulates, he says, I will walk in a place with you. I'll walk in an area with you. I'll take you out into the area of your life. Why is he doing that? Because he's forging this thing in here. As he's doing that, he's flooding this in here and he's stripping away the old image and he's forging a new one. He forges both an image in you of yourself. He has to shift that image. And then he forges an image of who you are in him and what he is in you. It's two images he's constantly forging. In order to do that, he has to address our image, which is in the way all the time. We just don't know it's in the way. That's what's in the way. And he has to loose that thing from past encounters, experiences, seasons of life. And he's got to loose it from the present. You're trying to find the impossible faith. It's not in the present. The faith for the impossible is not in the past. It's not in the present. It's in him that is to come. It's from the place he spoke to you. It's from the realm he brought that vision to you in the first place. The one that's forgotten a week or two after it was given. The one's putting on a shelf and all of a sudden you forgot the glory. Where did it go? But there is a way to tune our heart back into that realm with him. But what happens is the enemy knows this. He'd rather just keep us all where we're at or back us up, turn us aside. But he definitely doesn't want us to learn this. There's a man. You remember who he is? He was a billionaire. Anyway, Jimmy Miller told me about it. And what he used to do, God called him to business. And he said, I don't want you to do business. I want you to go sit out in front of this tree out here. That's what God told him. He goes, I want you to sit on that bench. I want you to dream with me. This is what I want you to do. And he goes, now dream that. And he would sit literally 3 hours a day and teach himself to dream out to his future. And he would sit and he would see it. And God would say it, and then he would attach the belief system, and he would start writing it on the heart. Am I glorious? He sat there and did that for a season. I think it was like 6 months. The Lord had him sit there and do that. Gave him a dream, but told him, don't go do this business. Don't do like everybody else. Go out and start build something. Sit here on this little bench under this tree, if I remember, and dream with me for 3 hours. I'm sure that was awkward for him at first, like it would be anybody else. I mean, who does that? How do I go dream for 3 hours? But what happens? And what I'm learning now, if I can get past the enemy, because he's so active when you start trying to move in this arena, man, he don't want you out there. He don't like anything new. That's the nature of your enemy. He don't like you moving in anything new, especially these rounds, because he has no, absolutely no defense for it whatsoever. But what I'm finding is when you move out into it, perambulating, he comes out and meets you. And when he comes out and meets you, he calls the scene to go off in your heart. That's a living reality where you're walking in it and he's in it. And I've done this with Anna. I saw her on a staircase in a wedding dress. And we've done this together. And we've walked out and we see and we say, and we've done this with the crown. And there are times we do it, and then there's time, my God, he shows up and the glory's all around it. And he's confirming, this is who you are. And then you come back to reality. And you're all full of glory of God. And then you come out, and then all the stuff happens. You go, oh my God, I want to get back there. Why? Because that's where the glory zone is. That's where the glory, the Father, that's what the Lord was introducing him to on the Mount Transfiguration. He took them out there. God wants to get us out there. He wants a church that will get out there with him and do it his way. He floods you. You literally walk in this realm. It's so living. And the Lord said, you're just getting started on this, because it takes time to get unlocked from where you were just to get out there. Because there's things that keep you from actually moving out and seeing that part. And agreeing with it. And then experiencing and then encountering. I love it when God encounters me, but he's doing that to open the door. That's what he's telling me to tell you. If he's opening the door, he's doing that to encounter you. And he's opening the door for you to come out to where he is. That's why he gives it to you in the first place. Why else would he give it to you? For you to have it, put it on a shelf, and to be tormented for it for 3 years? 10 years? It's not attainable. I can't reach it. I don't know how to do that. God said, of course you don't know how to do that. That is my thing for you. You got your thing, I got my thing. But come out. And as you unlock and he unveils you and unveils you, as you move further and further towards it, he moves more and more and more. There's so much stripping going on. That's when he told me yesterday, because I want you to dream of the Father's house. I have a new dream for this house. It's not a new one. I've showed it to you. But the past is not my dream for you. And the present's certainly not my dream. But I got a new dream. To create a house that's a prototype, apostolic house of the right hand of God, that will birth thousands and thousands of churches are going to look at this prototype. They're not looking at what is, they're looking at what's in here that's about to happen. And it's happening in here, it's going to happen in here. And that's how God wants to build this place. He goes, in these hours, you're learning in the early days, you're going to learn, you'll do this. He goes, but as you learn to do this, I'm going to take what took so long and I'm going to condense it down. You'll see it, dream it, and I'll manifest it, because I'm removing everything in the way. And what happens is when this manifestations begin happening, because we're moving fast now in the day of manifestation, he's saying, once faith starts elevating, faith can grab things and condense the time frame. It'll take the impossible and move it right there. Pew. You'll pray it, dream it, see it, walk in it. And it'll be a continuous operation. He showed me all this. And there's a realm we can go out into. See, when you dwell with him, there's a realm he'll dwell with you. Say, dwell with you and walk in you. Yes, he'll walk in you where you are, but he loves to walk in you where you're going. Because in order to manifest his glory, he's got to walk in you and where you're going. He's got to take you out. What did he do? He took Abraham and says, walk the breadth of this land, Abraham. This is yours and your descendants forever. God was taking him out there, walking with him out there. Walking and traversing an area. Or we can sit in here, keep doing things the way we've been doing them. That's not going to give birth, my friends. Not to what God's looking for. This is what God is doing now. This is where he's at. He's taking off the old because the old has to be unveiled and let go. He's shown us the power of where to do that. And then he introduces us to new. And the new, oh, it's new, it's fresh. It's glorious. And it's his will. And this house will all come into alignment with it. This is the way he's going to build this house. And everything is going to line into that now. And we're going to dream. But that's what God wants us to do. To take our part, our portion. And say, Father, it's the whole basis of this vision. It's not by might, not by power. But by thy spirit. The whole basis of everything you've taught us. I know sometimes it gets disheartening when you don't see it. You should walk in my shoes. I know that happens. For 20 years I've known that. But I also know that the mysteries are unlocking now of how he's going to roll this out. And he's taught us how to stay with him in it and not turn aside. And because we're locked in, it's an immovable place. And the glory of God's coming out of those foundation stones now. Man, when we stand on them, they just... You can't fail in that realm like that. You can't fail because you're constantly being delivered to the same place in faith every day. There's just no way to fail if we just keep doing it. Now, he wants to take us out there and release the dream and perambulate. The Father met us out there on February 8th, and he did something very extraordinary with Anna and I. He literally gave us our next season that day. You'll hear something with all the great men of faith. They're all going to tell you something. They all say the same thing if you listen to them, every one of them. They all said it. Hagin said it. Copeland said it. They said, listen, there comes a time you'll know when you receive that thing. You'll know you have it. Even though you don't see it, you'll know it. You'll mark the day that you have it. You'll know that it's yours. You'll know that God gave it to you, and nobody can take it away from you. Both of them have said that. You'll know that you know that you have received it. You'll know it. It can't be torn out of you. That's a great day because that is the Father's authorization and his yes to your next level. When we get that, all that is left is the promise of the Lord that I will do it. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for your love. Thank you for these expanding operations. Thank you, Father, for the glory of them. We give you our yes in them. Thank you, Father. There is no turning back. That all the glory's right in front of us. And it's with you that is to come. And we give you our yes to step out into it, Father. Even if you don't know how, just begin. He'll help you. Thank you, Father. Amen.